So tonight, I want to work from a key verse. The message, as I built it, it kept coming back around to one specific verse. And that verse is Jeremiah 29:11. So let's go ahead and flip our Bibles, if you have them, open to Jeremiah 29:11. Flip your Bible open to the middle. Go east a little bit and you will arrive there. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And really where I want to focus on in this verse is a future and a hope. We can dissect this just a little bit. It almost seems too simple, but let's take a look at it. When we talk about a future, we're really talking about anything beyond this time right now, right? I mean, it can be 10 minutes from now, it can be an hour from now, or it can be 10 years from now. It's a future. God has this future planned for us. We don't necessarily see clearly what it is, but it's out there. And what makes that future even more exciting is that there's a hope attached to it. Now, hope is one of those words, you know, we use the word hope every day, like I'm going down to the vending machine and I hope there's some Snicker bars left, you know, I hope. I hope the weather is nice this weekend. Now, these are things that we're wishing for. We say we hope in them, but there's really no scriptural basis for this thing that we're wishing for. We hope for it, but there's no background. When we talk about scriptural hope, we're thinking more about God's promises, things we know about God, things God tells us about Him, and things we can latch onto, anchors. So when we're talking about this verse in Jeremiah, God is promising us a future and a hope, a confident expectation that what He says is going to happen. So what this kind of is working in, as I think about this, and what this is working in my life, is that this gives me an indication that maybe I'm not living in the story or in the future and hope that God has planned for me. And I've been working on this myself for several months now and thinking, am I living that life or not? And so when Pastor Jack asked me to get up here and talk, I thought, well, what better thing to share with my brothers and sisters concerning my path and considering if maybe your path might could use some adjustment. Amen. Might could use some adjustment. I'm working on my English language skills as we go. So I'm convinced that God has a story for all of us. He has a future and a hope for each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old. I mean, usually when we think about, hey, our future, we're thinking about young folks and looking forward and considering, what's my career going to be? What's my life going to be like? But, you know, us who are a little bit longer in the tooth, a little more mature, man, we still got a future and a hope, right? We still got days ahead of us. And it occurs to me that if we're walking in God's path, He's going to prolong those days because we're doing His work. Amen. You know, when we get sick and we pray for healing, He's going to say, yeah, because you got a job to do and you're walking in it, I'm going to take care of you. Amen. But, so we're never too old. Oh, Psalm 139:6, that God has all of our days fashioned and recorded. He knows for every one of us, young or old, what He has in store for us. I've been reading a book called Intentional Living lately by John Maxwell. Very interesting book. And he tells a story concerning his father, John Maxwell's father, 93 years old, and he's living in a care facility. Probably the wrong term. Assisted living facility, I think, is what we're going for. Thanks, Tim. 93 years old, and he thought, you know what? We need a church service here. So he started a Sunday morning church service. Well, that church service filled up. So he started a second one. And then a third one at 93 years old. Then he started saying, you know what, we're just out of space here. I think I need to start a satellite service. So he's still got a mission ahead of him at 93 years old. He's way ahead of us. And this is something we can consider. What does God have in store for us? What is his future and hope for us? We're all in the game here. So I believe that by the time I'm done sharing my personal story with you, that one or two of you, and optimistically maybe three of you, will say, you know, I could do that. And maybe I should do this. And maybe I'm not living the life that God has planned for me right now. Maybe I'm missing the hope that he has in store for me. That thing that gets you up every morning. You know, if you're sitting in a position where it's like, man, snooze three times. My opinion, my philosophy is if you hit snooze twice, it just feels good. But if you hit it three times, you might be avoiding something. All right? There is a future and a hope, though, that we can rely on to get us out of bed in the morning, get us pumped up, get us rolling. We have a clear direction from God on what our role and responsibility is as Christians. I mean, he's very clear. We all have the same purpose here. Do you know this? Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. And let's talk about this purpose God has for every one of us. Everybody find it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Okay. So, a lawyer who's hanging with the Pharisees says to Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is pretty straightforward. Jesus said our primary role is to what? Love God. Secondarily, love our neighbor. Well, that sounds easy, right? Maybe not easy, but definitely straightforward. So this was the guidance that Jesus gave while he was in the midst of his ministry. But what was the last guidance Jesus gave us before he went through his trials? Go ahead, same book. Let's flip to Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And that to me seems like kind of a follow-on or a clarification of the Great Commandments. When Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," and now Jesus is saying, "Go get them saved. Bring them into my kingdom. Love them enough to go out and get them." So to me, it's very clear that we all have that same role. Love God, love our neighbor, and love our neighbors enough to go bring them into the kingdom. Now, that's something that we all have in common. However, we don't all have the same way of doing this. You know, I am as different from all of you as a foot is from an ear. All right? We don't do things the same way. And there's a reason for that. Because not all people can be reached the same way. Timmy can reach people that I can't reach. I have a different style, a different system, a different way of behaving. There's people that I can reach. But we all have different ways of doing this. Some people speak, some people write, some people are patient, some people are faithful. Some people love sports, some people are athletic and they're built, and you know, everybody's got these different characteristics that blend together to make them just the right mix of a person to go out into the field and harvest a specific crop. We all have the same mission, the same purpose, but we all go about doing it a different way. So my question, I guess, to all of you is, individually, what's your way? Now, some of you, I see it on a daily basis. Not daily, but regularly. I see what your mission is, what you do, how you approach the world, where you're at, your ministry. I see these things happening, but I also know that in the background, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things using their gifts that aren't so visible, that aren't so celebrated, but they are making that difference, right? They're out there reaching people. And that should be celebrated, but doesn't necessarily get noticed because we're just out there doing what we do and doing what Jesus is leading us to do because we have a faith and a hope. Amen. God is providing for us a future and a hope. Now, it occurs to me that perhaps everyone is not really interested in pursuing the future and hope God has in store for them. And I can understand that. There are several reasons, really. But even if someone isn't pursuing the role that God has set up for them, that's not a salvation issue, right? We're not saved by going through motions and doing works. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. So, if a person in our audience here tonight chooses to, I don't want to pursue the faith and hope, that's okay. You're missing something, but it's okay. But I wonder why a person would choose not to. And some things came pretty readily to my mind as I thought about that. Let's bounce back to Jeremiah chapter 29. But a little bit earlier in that story. Let's go to verse 4. And what I want to do is get a little bit of context of where the children of Israel were when God gave them this promise of a future and hope. Okay? So let's look at this. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So these children of Israel are held captive in Babylon, right? God's talking to them. He says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens. Eat your fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters. That you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. And I thought, oh, these folks were in Babylon for 70 years. A lot of these folks come the midterm or later in that time frame knew nothing but Babylon. This was their home. They lived in houses, they planted crops, they were eating fruit, they were marrying, they were having children, they were having grandchildren. They didn't even realize they were in a bad place. Because it wasn't that bad of a place. It wasn't home. It wasn't Jerusalem. But some of them had never been to Jerusalem. And as that 70 years progressed, less and less had. So toward the end of 70 years, these people were home. And they, you know, I can imagine when the 70 years came and God said, okay, now we can go back to Jerusalem, some of them were thinking, why? I'm doing pretty good here. I got clothes, I got a house, I got a comfortable bed, we're set. Why should I bother? And this is, you know, the same thing we see through history when the Israelites were crossing the wilderness for 40 years. They were saying, oh, let's go back to Egypt. You know, don't worry about the a future and a hope. We get lost. We get a little distracted by some of this stuff, and we forget maybe what God has in store for us, or we just don't really know. And sometimes we just need a little refresher and think about this and pull this together a little bit. Now, I also think that some people don't want to be used because they might recognize that there's something better out there, but maybe they don't really trust God. They don't know that God's going to come through for them. Or perhaps they don't hear God's voice in their life. So they may read, hey, God has a future and a hope for them. However, they don't really trust that. They say, you got a future and hope for somebody, but maybe it's not really me. Maybe it's somebody else. Because I see a lot of blessed people out there, but things might not be going so well for me. So I have an issue with that. But it occurs to me that God has a history of telling people what he's going to do for them. And you just start walking through your Bible, and it's amazing how many times God comes right up and tells people, this is what I'm going to do. For instance, Abraham. What did God tell Abraham? So many promises. But I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Okay? What about David? David was going to build a temple, and God said, nah. Your son Solomon's going to do that. And David said, oh, then I'll just start putting aside stuff for Solomon, because he's going to build an awesome temple. This is my role in it. What about Gideon? You remember Gideon? Yeah. Hiding in the wine press. And God said, you're a mighty warrior. Oh, what about Cain? God told Cain, hey, if you do good, things will be good. But if you don't, sin lies at your doorstep. And it did. God tells people, what? Let's do a little audience participation. Who else in the Bible did God tell what he was going to do? Noah. Awesome. And he told him way ahead of time because Noah had some work to do. Who else? I mean, just about everybody who is mentioned in the Bible, God told them ahead of time what he was going to do. Are you any different? You're children of the Most High God with Holy Spirit indwelling. Certainly, God's going to talk to you, right?
Amen.
Now, sometimes he's kind of hard to hear, and sometimes we don't listen all that well. But God talks to us in a lot of different ways. God talks to us right here, right? Man, be in there every day. Just hear what God has to say to you. He's got a lot to say. Romans 15:4, and you don't have to turn here. But Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have what? Hope. So we can have the hope. This is the hope that God has in store for us. Right here in the Scriptures. So if your ears are dull, just open your eyes. Read the book. It's there. God also gives us the desires of our heart. He leads us to want the things that are best for us. When we're living close to God, we're following after Him, He tells us what we want, and He's always right. He builds the desire within us. We naturally chase down the things of God if we're close to Him. The Scripture says, delight yourself also in the Lord, in Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Glory to God. He gives you the desire of your heart. He's going to fulfill that desire. This is awesome stuff. So he talks to us through his word. He talks to us by giving us a desire in our heart. He also guides you through his Holy Spirit. The book of John, chapter 16, verse 13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." He's going to tell you things to come. He's going to speak to you. God speaks to people. He tells them what's going to happen if you seek him out. Oh, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's surprising. Did you ever have one of these thoughts and you thought, wow, that was really smart? That wasn't you. Right? That was not you. That was the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you think, whoa, that was great. And it was, because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. That's the thing to celebrate. Yeah. And God says in Isaiah 42:9, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them." He tells you. He wants you to know. And you can hear it. So what's God telling you? Have you taken the time to listen to hear? What is the hope and future that God has spelled out and established for you? Because it is pre-established. He knows where he wants you to be. Just because you're not there doesn't mean you can't get there. God has these things in mind. You know, several months ago, God started encouraging me to purposefully start wondering and trying to determine and talking to him about where he wants me to be, what he wants me to be doing. And so that's kind of where this story kicks off. So my experience in that is I have learned that when you start wondering, you start having some very interesting ideas of where my hope and my future might be. And when you take down the barriers, because you're working with God, right? All things are possible. Then you can start wondering, oh, these are big dreams. I'll tell you, I kind of laid down my dreams many years ago. You know, life led one way, and I kind of followed that stream and started thinking, well, you know, these dreams and aspirations of our youth, you know, when you're little, you want to be a police officer, a fireman or something, then you get older and you want to do this, you want to do that. And then sooner or later, you start thinking, all these things are not going to happen, none of them. I'm just going to put them aside and live my life. But when you start thinking, oh, wait a minute, God has a plan for me, and it might contain some of these. These things are possible. And all of a sudden, it can wake up your hopes and your dreams. All of a sudden, it rekindles that fire and makes you start thinking, God can make these things happen. So when I ask you, what are your hopes and dreams? What are your aspirations? What do you think God has in store for you? Man, open the window wide, because there's a lot of stuff out there. And there's a lot of people to be reached in a lot of places. If you think, well, I'd kind of like to travel the world, hey, there's lost people all over the world. God can open those doors for you and make these things happen. And if you think, yeah, but I live in Beaver County, I don't like to cross bridges, that's okay. There's people in Beaver County that need the word too. God has this covered, and he has it covered specifically for you and the gifts that you have, the things he's equipped you with specifically to go out and make the impact. So, I recognize that knowing God's plan, or at least trying to get a grasp on God's plan, isn't really enough, because we can have plans and thoughts and dreams, but if we don't move on them, then nothing ever happens. If we keep doing the same things, we keep getting the same thing, right? It just happens that way. So, the book of James talks about how a huge ship can be turned by a small rudder, right? But you know what? If that ship isn't moving, fling that rudder back and forth, that ship doesn't turn. And as we're searching for what God has in store for us, sometimes we just have to start moving. So as I started working this out in my own life, I started guessing. All right? What's God's mission for me? What do I think He has in store for me? And as I start working these things out, and we'll talk specifically about how I went about this, and you can do it or not, it's up to you. But things started happening in my life. As I started honing in on what God was telling me was my mission or what He has in store for me, all of a sudden, my priorities started shifting to fulfill this thing. And the path of my life started shifting toward fulfilling this thing. And, you know, I really feel like, okay, now this is God telling me, hey, we're doing okay. You might not be right on the target, but we're getting close. We're moving. The rudder is shifting. God's moving the rudder, and He's making this stuff happen. These things are starting to develop. So let me move into the practical on this, because I know we're getting a little bit fuzzy. So I'm the kind of person that I need to approach things in an orderly fashion. So my thought was, and I did some research and found out, you know, how successful people operated and people who wanted to work toward their vision and you know, just how can I best make this happen? So I went out and I spent 88 cents on one of these. Yeah, this is a high quality tool. And not only can you use it to lead your way as you change your life toward what God has in store for you, but also in the front cover of this, Dean, did you know that the website for the Central Intelligence Agency is listed right in here? And inside the back cover, you can learn how to use a semicolon. A well-spent 88 cents. But what I did was, first page, top of the page, I wrote down what God has charged me to do. Love God, love my neighbor, make disciples. Okay? And every day when I open my book, this is a blank, by the way, every day when I open my book, this is the first thing I see. Below that, I started working on what is my vision for my life. And I have written it in probably 40 different ways as this thing gets honed out. And it keeps changing and shifting. And it was kind of funny. I thought I had it. And then I asked Lynette. And I realized, ooh, this isn't a joint vision. This needs to be a joint vision. I can't just have my own vision without thinking about my wife, right? So it's back to the drawing board. And it's okay, because you're working this thing through, and every couple days rewriting your vision, man, it focuses you on what you're here for. Now, that uses up like 3 pages of the book. What's the rest of it for? Does anybody out there journal? Raise your hand, please, if you journal. Women tend to journal. My wife journals. It's awesome. Journaling will draw your heart so close to God that it's amazing. What do you record in your journal? Things you're asking God for, prayers to God, things God has done, answers to prayer, things you're just thankful for, things that are concerning you and worrying you. And then you can recognize, wait a minute, God's got this. I know I'm concerned, but He's on top of this. And then you start looking back in here after a couple of months and you say, wow, God has taken care of my business. Yeah. You got your own personal testimony. Hey, here's what I started thinking. Where do you think this came from? Yeah. Somebody was writing it down, right? Somebody was writing it down. Book of Jack. You know what I'm saying? This is cool stuff. Hey, I really encourage you to consider that. Now, So that takes care of the journal, okay? So we look at, hey, what is my purpose? What am I doing here? Love God, love my neighbor enough to bring them into salvation, make disciples. What is my vision for me? What is God leading me toward through my reading, through what He's saying to me, through the desires He's putting in my heart? Where does He have me going? Figure this out. Keep working it. Keep rewriting it. It's okay. God's going to get you there. He talks to you. Then you're journaling, keeping track of your heart, where your heart is, what your prayers are, who's, you know, what's important to you. But I noticed I was missing something. Excuse me. So, I know probably the same people who journal out here also have a set of declarations that they use on a daily basis. Anybody have declarations? Things you use to build yourself up, lift yourself up. So I sat down and I thought to myself, what am I concerned about in my life? One of the things I'm concerned about, like everybody, is my health. You know I don't want to rely on God for a miracle. I like a little bit of extra health every day. I want to stay healthy, not need a miracle, right? Pray for my kids. You know, this is important. Being bold. Being strong. These are things that I look at and I say, you know, sometimes men's faces dissuade me from doing things. You know what I'm saying? They look at you like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, no, I'm okay. This is fine. And it's like, no, I can't be that way. And so I really made up a list of these things, and Lynette helped me go through Scripture and find proclamations, what God's promises are, what He says. Can I read some of them to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Starts off, I am led by the Holy Spirit of God, therefore I am a son of God. It's Romans 8.
Yeah.
Oh, that's uplifting. I am a son of the mighty God. I am anointed by God to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound. Wow. I love that. Isaiah 61. I'm anointed. My mind is in perfect peace because my thoughts are stayed on God and I trust completely in Him. Isaiah 26. I love Isaiah. It's like, yeah. No evil befalls me, no plague comes near my dwellings, for God has placed His angels His charge over me to keep me in all my ways, Psalm 91. I raised my children in the way that they should go, and now that they are grown, they will not depart from that way, Proverbs 22. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, He always exalts me. God teaches me to prosper and leads me in the way I should go, Isaiah 48. That is the Scripture that launched me from my prior employment into my new one. I was looking at the new employment opportunity, and I was praying about it, and I opened up Isaiah, and God said, Jack, I will teach you to prosper, and I'll show you the way you should go. It was like, He's talking to me. I have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding directly from the mouth of God because I have asked of Him and trusted in Him. Proverbs 2 and James 1. Kind of mixed them together there. Right from the mouth of God, He tells me things. My God satisfies my mouth with good things and my youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103. And this is the one I added on just most recently. I am strong and have good courage. I will not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go.
Amen.
These are mighty words.
Yeah.
I tell them to myself every day.
Yeah.
If I was better at this, I'd be doing it day and night. I'm still working on me, right?
Right.
You can do this.
Yeah.
You can be more than what you are. You can, and I shouldn't say that. I'd love to make the assumption that all of us in this room have been through this process and we're already living in God's best, that His story is established in us and we're moving forward. But if you're not, hey, here's some things you might want to consider trying because it's very cool. So, God's given us all a common direction. Love God, love our neighbor, love them enough to bring them into the kingdom. He has a unique future and hope for each of us individually. He knows you. He knows what you can do, and He knows who He wants you to reach. He's got you. Journaling has worked for me. The declarations strengthen me and uphold me every day. And this is really what I had hoped to share with you. My vision, my personal vision, and this is kind of why Pastor Jack asking me to come in here and talk to you all was really timely, really awesome, and really fit, is because between Lynette and I, we have kind of come up with this vision, and we're still working on it, of course, and I say kind of come up with. Let me be bolder. This is my current vision. This is what I'm doing. Our vision is to have a global ministry of leading others to discover their life of significance and purpose in Jesus Christ. Now, we can't do that on our own, but God can do that. And we're really pumped up about it. And then I turn around and Pastor Jack says, "Hey, Jack," and this is my interpretation, "would you mind standing up here and practicing your vision in front of your church family?" And it's like, "Yes, please. Thank you very much. Certainly I will." So that's where that is. What comes next for me? Hey, we're going to continue to grow. But more importantly, for you, what are you going to do? I actually spend a lot of my days now teaching in a classroom. And one of the points I make with every class that I work with is this: you're here to learn, but that learning has to result in a change in your behavior, or we're all wasting our time. You can know as much as you want to know, but if you don't use it, it's a waste. We can be convicted and convinced of something sitting in a room and walk out the door and say, "Oh, that was invigorating. I'm done with that. Time for burgers," right? Or we can say, "You know what? Maybe I need to make a change." Yeah. And if that's the case, glory to God. Yeah. It's all for you. It's your benefit. God has something great for you. And if your answer is, "I'm already living there. I love God, and He has got me in an awesome and marvelous place," God bless you. Yep. Help us, the rest of us, do the same thing, because, man, we are one group pulling together, right?
Amen.
So that's what I got for you.
Amen.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm going. And if any of you want to join forces and move forward together, happy to do that. I think it'd be a blast. That said, can we pray?
Yes. Amen.
All right. Lord God, I thank You for the opportunity to...